The Dub D Dub Review podcast is proud to have two great sponsors, the Magic for Less Travel Agency and the Theme Park Brothers. The Magic for Less is an authorized Disney vacation planner. Let the agents for the Magic for Less, including our very own Laura Fitzpatrick, help take care of the important details like dining reservations, fast pass planning, and discount checking to ensure that your next Disney vacation will create memories to last a lifetime. Plus, their services are completely free. You pay nothing and can benefit from their years of knowledge and experience. More information can be found on themagicforless.com. We've also partnered up with the Theme Park Brothers. Michael, Jordan, Cameron, and Christina Black have some of the nicest quality Orlando attraction videos on YouTube. Subscribe and check out their latest videos, which are sure to keep you entertained, as well as keep you informed of all the latest changes to the Walt Disney World Resort. Search for the Theme Park Brothers on Facebook and YouTube, and at Theme Park Boys on Twitter. Hello, and welcome to a special edition of the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Peter Ponocorvo and Laura Fitzpatrick. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good, Chris.
Awesome. Guys, I wish I had a better introduction. I was trying to prepare the Barney Rubble Happy Anniversary sound. I was trying to do the Road Dogg intro for WWE, but I've got nothing other than saying, we're here. We've made a small mark in the world. 50 shows today. What do you think about that?
Awesome.
I don't know. I never thought we'd make it to like 25.
Three. That's what we thought. So, okay.
It's
so
been fun.
Tell me overall your first year. Give me your quick impressions of the first year. Give me a couple of words to talk about, you know, the first 50 shows and year.
Hectic. Yeah.
Okay. Laura.
Between our regular lives and then adding this on, and it's been...
Yeah.
And not that I haven't loved every minute. It's just like we have everything going on in what we'll call real life, and then we get this little escape, but it's like, oh, wait, I got to find an hour. We got to record.
Yeah. It's true.
You know?
True.
And I love it, though.
It is cool.
It's a great escape from real life for a little while.
Let me hog it for a second here. You know what the coolest part about the last 50 shows in 1 year?
Me?
Of course. I was going to say Pete. Laura, you're next. Now, we have met some of the coolest people and some of the kindest and nicest people through doing this show. You know?
We have.
For three Yahoos that just decided to talk. And then actually
calling a Yahoo.
I'm sorry?
I said, who are you calling a Yahoo?
Okay. For three knuckleheads who decided to talk, you know, and the people that listen and respond, we have met some of the kindest, nicest people you'll ever meet. You know, I communicate a couple times a week with Amy and Tim, and I communicate with Michael and Christina almost on a daily or every other day basis. So we have met a whole bunch. Tamara's been the best. A whole bunch of people that have just been super. I mean, wouldn't you think that's the coolest part, Pete, Laura?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without it.
You know, we've got I have a new friend over in the UK, in Paul Clifton, and, you
sure.
know. I don't.
Definitely.
I didn't think I'd know anybody that was from the UK. I have a friend that moved there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I think I'd ever actually know someone that was born there and lives there, and you know.
Awesome. Well, we have no guarantees of how long this is going to go, and no guarantees of numbers. Other than when we started off, we said we're going to do this till this isn't fun anymore. And at least in my impression, I'm having a ball every time we do this. So I don't see it stopping anytime soon. It might come to a screeching halt at episode 51, or go for hundreds afterwards. But we're having a ball doing this, so. We love it. So if you've listened with us through the first 50 shows and a little over a year, we appreciate it. So thank you. It's really you guys that make the show go on, because you guys are the best. So,
yeah, if we didn't have any listeners, we probably wouldn't do it anymore.
We wouldn't do it.
I'd probably still talk to Chris about it, but...
Laura, you're out. That's what he's telling you.
We would record our own shows.
All right, so let's start off 50. We've got a really cool guest. Actually, this was a pre-recorded interview, and I've been saving it, and I wanted to play it here. But I threw some questions at you guys. Do you have any answers to my questions? Are you guys ready to roll?
Sure.
Yes.
We're going to skip trivia. So based on the time of year, this is the holiday season, the Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa time of year. I wanted to throw some questions at you. So when you think of the holidays and Walt Disney World Resort, what is the first thought that crosses your guy's mind? So it could be anything. What's the first thought, Pete, that crosses your mind?
It's got to be the decorations.
Pete...
Yeah,
I was gonna say,
hey,
stole it.
You know, it's subtropical Florida, but they manage to still make it feel like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go outside, it's 85 degrees and there's palm trees, but you still feel like it's Christmas.
Hmm.
Right, I agree,
Laura. Besides that, give me your second thought, then, Laura. Do you have a second thought after Pete stole your first?
Luckily this year I was able to get down there for the holiday season, but in my classroom I'll play the background loops for Main Street USA, the music that's on Main Street during the holidays. So I guess just like the ambience and the feelings that, you know, it's my favorite place no matter what time of year it is, and then add Christmas to it, my favorite holiday. You know, so it's just like the perfect place. Even if I can't be there, I can still put that music on and pretend I'm walking down Main Street.
And
right down the middle of Main Street?
Yep. Main Street
I had
USA.
To.
Of course.
I couldn't help it.
It was the softball, wasn't it?
It was just sitting there on the tee. I was like, oh. All right, swing. Go ahead.
Complete with pep in my step.
Good girl.
Wow.
So let me share you with mine. My first thought is the resorts. At the holidays and just in general, because when my family goes, we can't always say we go to the theme parks, but we always go resort hopping. And to see the resorts at the holidays, to see the trees and the gingerbread displays, instantly, like as soon as I said, what is Walt Disney World? What is the first thought? I thought of the Contemporary and the gingerbread house with the monorail passing right by it. So it's the resorts for me. And I know the theme parks are really decorated pretty nice, but for me at least, it's the resorts. So so awesome. So let's talk then. So we talked about the holidays. So, excuse me, if you could change a course of action for any Disney beginning, I guess you'd say, into 2017, what would it be? So what would you stop or start or adjust that's going to happen in 2017 and beyond, Pete?
You know... See, this was the one I had trouble with that you kind of sent us. And mainly it's because none of us know what 2017 really is going to hold.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having an issue like kind of putting together what I want to change, not knowing what's coming.
Okay.
Lord. So I guess it would be like knowing what's coming would be a good change for me. If they were a little more forthcoming with information.
Okay.
Mine is pretty simple. Just coming back and having to buy a 2-day ticket and a 1-day ticket for my trip, lowering ticket prices.
Well,
if I had the power. Because
okay.
I know, but hey, if I had the power, I would do that.
True.
Because it's just ridiculous that... That's how much it costs. I mean, I have no regrets, and I would do it again and again and again and again. And I will for my entire life, but it's just, it's hard when I'm, you know, quoting vacations for families and, you know, they're like, well, what? Why is it so expensive? It's like, well, it's not really the hotels, depending on where you stay.
Yes.
You know, obviously, if you pick a deluxe resort, then your price is way up there, but it's the tickets that really drive up the price. for our families. So,
and you know, we get it. We feel it.
I get it. I understand.
We bleed it, and we know what it brings to you. But it must be very difficult as a travel agent when you show that sticker shock, and it's like, whoa. Like the first impression must be, and then you have to sell why it's worth it. And that must be a very difficult sale.
So. And especially for first timers.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, what? We can go to Six Flags. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not the same. You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, no doubt.
Not the same. But so that's what I would do if I had the power.
Okay. Well, here's what I would do. I would lessen or take away the ability to pre-plan things out as far in advance as you can. And I know going with my family, you know what? I kind of like going down there. And I know you can still get this, but I kind of like going down there and kind of being spontaneous. And I kind of like knowing not what the day is going to bring until the day brings it to me. So, you know, the idea that I'm out a couple months in advance planning my fast passes, trying to plan the day up. And I know some people would say, oh, no, it's great. It's genius. I like that. I like getting them on the day of. You know, I kind of like seeing how the day plays out as opposed to having to do that in advance. It took away something for me to have to know I have to plan that in advance. And it felt like, and I like controlling and managing my vacation, but that felt too restrictive. Now, I know it brings a whole bunch of other things to the table for Disney, you know, planning of crowd movements and knowing which rides do what and if they need to replace a ride or refurbish it because its attendance is lower or tracking your spending. I get that. I do that on the, you know, on a monetizing side of things, but as far as the guest experience, I know it's helped, but it's taken away some of the fun and magic of the day. So I don't know if lessen it. Now I know I'm going to Disneyland, and I know that Fast Pass over there is still in ticket form, so that'll be kind of a throwback for me. So I'm looking forward to that. But you know, I know the planning that far in advance, not necessarily dining, but even rides, it's kind of taken some of the fun of the spontaneous part of the vacation away from me. So,
but here's what you got to remember, Chris. It's a choice. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Like the trip I have coming up, I've got meals planned on, I think, 4 of my 7 days. I have fast passes done for like 3 days, but it's not even all of the fast passes available to me on those days.
But I feel
I'm
like
just people... gonna I'm just gonna go in and what I get and I'm gonna enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to actually make it a little more spontaneous. Of an organic, spontaneous kind of a thing instead of having everything so rigidly planned that we have no flexibility in what we're doing when.
I guess I could see that too. I only look at it from perspective of a father with a young daughter. If I don't get Anna and Elsa 2 months in advance, I'm never getting on.
You can do that, and then you know you have that one day, or you get that fast pass. If that's the only one you're really concerned with, get that fast pass multiple days, and then you decide to use it when you use it.
Yeah, that is the cheat around with that. I get that too. We've done that too, Pete. I actually gotten the fast pass for Anna and Elsa every day on vacation, waiting for the right day. But then I do kind of feel dirty in that sense that I know I'm taking up a spot if I don't necessarily release it, and I try to, but inevitably it'll be a day I forgot to release it. So I get that too. All right. So anyways, let's get on with the show. All right. So we're going to play for you an interview that we had. Pete, you want to kind of introduce our guest a little bit here?
Well, you guys may all have seen the hint that I put out on our Facebook page of that that red bowler hat, which he is kind of famous for wearing that one in addition to a few other hats. But
is it Benny Hill?
No. Red bowler. Oh, red bowler hat. And it's not bowler hat guy either. So don't go there. But it is Yeehaw Bob.
Yeehaw Bob. So Yeehaw Bob Jackson was cool enough to join us for an interview. And through the magic of Skype, we were able to record the interview. And through
the magic of Skype?
Yeah, hang on, let me finish that statement. Through the disappointment of Skype too, some of the interview had to be cut only because at times it became garbled and almost unlistenable. And that was just directly due to Skype. And I think with a gentleman like Bob, he was good enough to offer his time. We kind of get one shot at this. Luckily, almost the vast majority of the interview is here. So through the magic of editing and the magic of Skype, we want to now present to you our interview with Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Guys, we're going to skip our trivia today because we are honored to be joined by this gentleman. He is a legend in the Disney community. So without any undue delay, I would like to bring on Bob Jackson, better known as Yeehaw Bob. How are you, Bob?
Yeah! Hi, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Dub-dee-dub Review Podcast, we love you. Dub-dee-dub Review Podcast, we love you. Dub-dee-dub Podcast, it's true. Dub-dee-dub Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
Now that's an intro.
Yes, it is.
Bob Jackson from Porterlings Riverside saying a big hello to all my friends listening today on the Dub-Dee-Dub Review Podcast. I want to give a big shout out, a big thank you to Mr. Chris, Miss Laura, and Mr. Peter. Gentlemen and lady, thank you very much for inviting me onto your show.
Thank you for being here, Bob.
Yes, that was awesome.
Bob, that's the best opening we've ever had, and we ever probably will have, so thank you very much. So,
my pleasure.
Bob, so we're excited to have you. This is our 50th show, so we've made it more than a year, and some podcasts make it more than a year, some podcasts fade, but, you know, Laura and Pete are good friends of mine, and I can't see this ending anytime soon, and we couldn't find a better person to bring on for 50 episodes here.
Well, I'm glad you could invite me onto the show. This is exciting.
Bob, let's talk. We have some questions. If you wouldn't mind, could we just throw some questions at you? I know Laura's got a list, Pete's got a list, and I'm just hoping to ride their coattails today. Does that work for you?
That works for me.
Cool. Laura, Pete, fire away.
Well, I think one of the questions we all three of us had was, how did you start at Disney?
I was working at a big piano bar downtown. It was I started at Rosie O'Grady's. I moved to Orlando and started to work down at Rosie O'Grady's. And then I moved to a big piano bar called Blazing Pianos. And I was working with some boys there at Rosie's that were working at Disney. And they invited me out to audition for the Diamond Horseshoe Review. My first show at Disney was at the Diamond Horseshoe Review. So I joined the Diamond Horse Review as a sub, and the show went through a couple different permutations, and I became the two-day piano player there, and I was working a lot at Disney. I've played all the different shows at Disney, and one night at Blazing Pianos, this big piano bar, we had a sub, and the young man said, "Bob, I'm leaving Porterlings Riverside. And would you like to audition and come out and work there?" And so I went out and checked it out. And at the time, at Porterlings Riverside, that little lounge, a real sleepy little bar.
Yes.
It was just basically a holding room for the dining room. And it would clear out at 10 o'clock at night. And I went out there and looked at it. And I thought, well, you know, I could really turn this into something. And that was almost 20 years ago. I've been on that little stage 20 years.
Wow.
Bob, you turned that into something amazing. And,
yeah.
And just recently, I had the pleasure of attending my first show. I've been told about it from previous guests, and I've read about it, and I've watched videos on YouTube. So on a date weekend for my wife, which we flew down, we decided to go check it out. And I will say I've never seen a crowd into the show like I saw your show. You had Lords of Leaping, and you had a whole row of people doing the geese a laying, and it was an utterly amazing experience to see that show. Just the crowd was rocking, and your words just echoed in my mind throughout that night that nobody has more fun than we do, and it was an utterly amazing experience. So if you're listening and you've never seen Bob's show, for shame, you've got to check it out. Port Orleans, the River Roost Lounge is where Bob performs. It's unbelievable. What nights do you perform there, Bob?
I'm there four nights a week, Wednesday through Saturday.
Wow.
It's free to get in. You don't have to be, you don't have to pay any money to get in, and kids are welcome all night long. Okay. And we have people from all over Central Florida coming, from all over Disney, and bring your kids. It's a family friendly audience participation show, and we just have a lot of fun, and we just get them all wound up. I have a plaque up there from one of Walt Disney's favorite sayings. Is give the people everything you can give them. Make it a real fun place to be. That's my mantra. Every night when I go in there, I repeat that to myself, and it's even sitting up there as a reminder that to give everybody everything I get. When I walk out of that place, I have to give everything I have got. And that's what I do every night when I'm there. So I'm going to invite everybody to come on out and keep us company. We have a lot of fun.
Bob, I know you you mentioned that you've played all the Disney parks. And I know on your website it also states you've played all of them. Are you going to be taking a trip out to Shanghai to hit that park out there?
Well, that would be interesting. No, I played all the parks here in Central Florida. I've played.
Ah, okay.
Animal Kingdom. I used to work at the Tarzan show. I was a sub there from the time it opened to the time it closed. I played over at MGM, and I've played all, you know, I've spent years working there at the Magic Kingdom, played the Hoop-De-Doo. I've played Coke Corner there at the Magic Kingdom. I've played just about every show that's out there at Disney's. It's just been a wonderful experience.
Bob, it looks like from your website, so you were a music composition major. You went to the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. So music's been in your blood ever since you could remember. So give me some advice. Now, you know, I can't speak for Laura or Peter. I don't know if I have a whole lot of musical talent, but let's say you've got someone that wants to be musically inclined and like to make a career out of it and perhaps even be at Disney. What kind of advice could you offer them? Because in the Disney community, you're thought of as a legend. And so what kind of advice could someone get from you that would help them lead down to the same path? Obviously not reaching the same goals that you have, but how could they get started with Disney with music?
I always encourage people, and young people especially, to just have fun with their music. Don't make a job out of it. Don't make a chore out of it. Just have fun. I've got the young people coming in all the time to hear me play, and I always encourage these younger players. And as far as getting a job at Disney, it's difficult. It's getting harder and harder. There's fewer and fewer live performance jobs out there at Disney. And all you can do is just have fun with your music and see where it leads you.
Mm-hmm. Is this the most fun you've ever had at Disney as at the Port Orleans job? Or would you say your position at the Diamond Horseshoe? What's the big highlight so far of your career? What is the position that gives you the most fun?
One of the highlights of my career there at Disney was when John Lasseter comes in and sits in the front row, pulls a chair up and puts his feet on the band on my little stage. And there's songs, all his Pixar songs I know, and he'll sing along at the top of his voice with his eyes closed, with his head laid back. That, for me, is just the biggest hoot.
And the picture's on your website, too.
Yeah, the picture's on the website.
That's amazing. So looking at some of the information, you've played over at SeaWorld, you've played owner over at Universal City Walk. It looks like you've played at Give Kids the World Village as well, too, Bob. How are you involved with Give Kids the World Village?
I'm down there once a month. Mm-hmm. I go down once a month to Give Kids the World and put on children's shows. And it's fun. It's very fulfilling. Those kids have a lot of problems, and it's just fun to go down there and entertain their families. I'm down there once a month, down there at Give Kids a World. It's good. It's a good piece of business.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, I know you have obviously all of your shows at Disney and Give Kids a World, but you also do a good amount of original music as well, correct?
I do. I love to write this original music. I'm working on a new video today. I've got 3 original CDs out. I've got 10 CDs out, and 3 of them are all my original music. And I'm working on a new one today, new video. And it's just lots of fun. It's just a creative outlet. And I don't think I'll ever get famous with it, but it's just fun thing to do. I love to write these pretty piano solos. And if I could, let's see, I don't know if I could play some for you at this particular moment. I might be able to get something to go. Here, let's see here. Don't move. This is a song that I wrote. I was playing down at, you remember the, I was playing down at the Pulse. You remember this big?
Oh my.
I was playing down there at Pulse. They had all the flowers set out. And they invited me out to go perform for them. So I sat, this is some of the music that I was playing at the Pulse Memorial downtown. I just went down to volunteer. I probably spent 4 hours over the course of the month. And I'm just playing for the Pulse people. It was very interesting. This is the type of music that I like to play and like to record and like to write.
And for those of you out there that are piano players or would like to see if you can come anywhere close to anything Bob can do, I know he has a book of his original music out, and it's based on your CD, My Sunset Sky, correct?
That's right, yeah. It was a challenge. It took me a year to write that music out one note at a time, but I've got it all done, and it was fun. I love to write that music. You know, love to write music. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. You can find it all on his website, which is Yeehaw Bob, and that's YEHAABob.com. You can find it all under CDs. He's got some pretty cool T-shirts as well, too, so I know one's coming my direction once I found it today, so that's a really excellent thing. So tell me, Bob, I'm interested, too, as well. I know you've got a CD of gospel favorites. So in addition to Disney, you're involved with your local church and play for them as well, too?
Yes, I was there yesterday. We had our big cantata yesterday. I played up at that little church now for almost 23 years. Mm-hmm. It's lots of fun. I just love to play I play the old tunes. We play the old gospel favorites. And I was lucky enough to be invited up to Alaska this last year to play. The Alaska Christian College flew me up there. They were on the Kenai Peninsula. I went up there for a fundraiser. I played 5 shows raising money for the indigenous Indian kids that go to school there at the Alaska Christian College. It's a college for the indigenous kids, and I was lucky to raise a whole bunch of money, and we played 5 shows. And I love playing the old gospel music.
That's awesome, Bob. Yeah. You really killed it with the Christmas songs when I was down there. Is Christmas your favorite time of year to play for the crowd at Port Orleans?
I love playing there every night.
Okay.
But I put on this ridiculous 12 Days of Christmas routine. It takes about 15 minutes while through. And I drag people up on stage to be the Partridge in a Pear Tree, and then I get a whole group. I find the biggest, burliest, tattooed, long-haired men to come up on stage, and I get them to run around the room leaping like the lords of 10 lords of leaping, and I can't believe they do it, but I'm glad they do it. It's just the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life to see these large men leaping around. They'll make a lap. They make a lap around the entire lounge, and it's it's really funny. The whole bit.
I am so glad I have not been to your show at Christmas time then.
Same.
Yeah. That would be me.
That guy. Yeah.
And you know what? No one's out of place there. Bob's right. When we went down there, he was about 6'4" and probably 300 pounds, full of tattoos, backwards hat. Before you know it, he was into the show. He was dancing, lords a-leaping. And, you know, like Bob says, you're never going to see these people again. So it was hysterical. It was riotous. That's for sure. So
we do. We get them going.
Bob, so tell me, I'm dying to know, when the piano starts rocking, how did that develop? How did that show actually develop with your trademark boogie-woogie sound and the piano going back and forward? Tell me the history of that. That's fascinating.
Well, the piano rocking, that's an old root. The guys have been rocking that piano since the early 1900s. You just push it with your knee and it goes back and forth. And people love to watch it, you know, and it's just a big part of the show. I just push this piano back and forth, and I perform standing up most of the time. It's a very high energy show. I perform standing up, rocking this piano. I got the top of it off so you can see the hammers, and the strings are constantly breaking. I got strings hanging out of this piano, and stuff's breaking and falling out. And that piano tuner is one of my favorite friends. He loves me because he gets paid every time he gets called out there. And he's number 5 on the speed dial on my telephone.
I imagine you'd have to be.
Yeah, so it's lots of fun. I just took the wheels off that piano so it sits flat on the floor. There's a hole in the back of the wall behind me that I put in with that piano. I just push it, and we rock and roll for 3.5 hours. I do not take a break. From the time I sit down to the time I walk out, I go 3.5 hours straight. We take 2 15-minute meet and greets and bring people up for photos, but I do not leave that stage for 3.5 hours.
How do you keep that energy going four nights a week, every week?
You're an animal.
You've got to be.
That's the answer.
I am.
So
I'm going to play a bit from my Disney CD. What a wonderful friend. I'm playing all the parts here, playing all the instruments. Ain't no passing craze. Means no worries for the rest of your days. I'm particularly proud of the tuba part. Hakuna
Matata. Oh, this is great. Wait a minute. I have to buy the CD for my classroom.
It's our motto. Well, what's a motto? What's the matter with you? That's a good one.
You know what? These two words will solve all your problems.
That's right. Take Puma for example.
Why?
When he was a young warthog.
But I was a young warthog.
Very nice. Don't hurt yourself.
I always wanted to do that.
He found this role of like to serve in the field.
He could clear the savannah after every meal.
I'm a sensitive soul. Go and see. Thick skin. And it hurt that my friends never stood down with. And oh, the shame.
It was a shame.
I started changing my name.
Oh, what's in the name?
And I got so downhearted.
How did you feel?
Every time that I...
Wait! Not in front of the kids.
Hakuna Matata.
So that's from my Disney CD. I'm doing all the parts, all the voices.
Wow.
That's
amazing. Awesome.
And you could find them all on his website. He's got a spot where you can buy all 10 CDs actually on his website. So if you wanted them, Laura, you can get them.
Yeah, I think my kids would get a hoot out of that.
They would. Bob, besides John Lasseter, who's the most prestigious person you've played for?
I've had a bunch of the Disney corporate people in there. I don't even want to name their names, but... it's always a big time when they come in, you know. It's always a big production. There's always lots of security, and there's always a lot of big brouhaha when I get these Disney corporate executives.
Sure.
But I don't really want to go into the names, but it's a lot more fun. I love when they show up, and if they're listening, of course, you're all welcome. But I love to just entertain everybody. It's such a great time to see all my friends and see all these different kinds of people from all over the world, from all different backgrounds. And I just love to entertain. It's my passion, what I do. I love to do what I do.
Bob, I know you touched on it earlier. I know you do private events all over the country, correct?
Yeah, I'm lucky that I get to fly occasionally to do these fundraisers for Give Kids the World. I put on children's shows all over, and I love to entertain. It's just what I love to do. What I'm here for and what I enjoy doing. And I enjoy it, and I'm so glad that I got to be invited onto your pet podcast tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. The Dub-De-Dub Review Podcast. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson from Port Orleans Riverside. I want to invite you all out to the show. Nobody has more fun than us. I want to thank my friends Chris, Laura, and Peter for inviting me on the show tonight. Dub-De-Dub Review Podcast. We love you. We love you, Dub-De-Dub Podcast. We love you. Dub-De-Dub Review Podcast. It's show. Dub-De-Dub Review Podcast. We love you. Good night, everybody. Thanks for inviting me onto the show, Chris, Peter, Laura. All the best to all of you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Have
Thank
a good
you,
night.
Bob. That was awesome.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was awesome, wasn't it, guys?
I'm still deaf.
Did you hear that horn?
I'm still
my ears hurt.
That was awesome.
That was
so energetic and, yeah, unexpected. I wasn't expecting all of the sound effects, so that was a lot of fun.
Man, we thank you, Bob, for joining us. You know, that was really kind of you to spend some time with us. And if you're down there and you haven't seen the show, shame on you guys. I was shamed by Amy and Tim, and they're right. So go and see it. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the River Roos Lounge at Port Orleans Riverside. So,
the best resort on property.
And I've already been told I have to go by Bob. So,
yeah, he did. He told you.
He did.
That's awesome.
But you know, it kind of being that this is the 50th, I kind of wanted to thank everybody again. I know we mentioned some people earlier, but. You know, and there's a lot of you guys out there, and we'd love to sit here and go through individually and thank every one of you guys. You guys are, you know, with everything that you've done for us as far as coming and talking to us online and things like that, you know, you guys make this as much fun as just doing it is fun. So, you know, I personally want to thank everyone for listening and, you know, just
definitely
making this what it is. And of course, I want to thank you two as well. So it wouldn't be the same without you either.
Well, thank you.
Back at you, baby.
Same. Yeah. Same to be said for you.
Awesome.
I do want to say that the Magic for Less has graciously offered a really cool prize pack for us to give away in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for what we've got planned for that really cool giveaway. So
yeah, I texted you. I said, Laura, what's in the prize pack? And what I got back was like a paragraph and a half. It was like,
yeah,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're graciously donating Mickey and Minnie holiday plush, a Mickey Santa hat, a photo album, a Disneyland frame, a Magic for Less laundry bag, and a Magic for Less cinch sack.
Boom.
So yeah, so definitely stuff that you can use on your holiday trip next December if you're going, or you know, holiday photos, or, you know, whatever you want to use it for. So it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to have a good contest to go and give that away. So stay tuned in the future. Also, another lead-in. Pete mentioned something last show. But, you know, stay tuned in early 2017. There's, you know, there's some big things planned. And you know, we're excited to share them with you. So, you know, we have some changes coming. And we're excited. Maybe changes isn't the right word, is it, guys? It's
I don't know how much things will change as much as we'll have some added
enhancements.
Some
enhancements, yes.
Laura killed it. I love it. All right.
Disney speak.
That's the teacher right there coming out using vocabulary.
Say Disney speak enhancements.
Hey, we wanted to bring this show to a close, but before we did, just wanted to give you guys you know, one last time to if you haven't reviewed us on iTunes or Stitcher, please do so. It does help us, you know, listen to by other people as well, too. So we'd greatly appreciate your review. All right. So let's bring the 50th to a close. We wanted to thank everybody one last time. And, you know, we appreciate you guys sticking with us. And if there's anything you guys like us to do, or, you know, you want to give us some feedback, you know how to contact us. Just hit us up on our page on Facebook. So for that, for my friends Laura and Pete, thank you and have a great day.
See everybody.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.